The following is an initiation ceremony on the occasion of Vyasa Puja with His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami, recorded on December 15, 2002, in Wicklow, Ireland.
So you know this in our temples in the morning. We sing this song. It's written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Prabhupada had a special liking for it and made it a daily part of a morning program in the temple, the very first thing during Mangal Arati, we would sing it. And so we're going to look at the verse meanings after we sing it. Okay, I will lead it. Samsara dhava nanani daloka tranaya karunya guna ganatham Pratasya kalyana gunarnavasya Pande guru sri charanaravindam Mahaprabhu kirtana nitya gita vaitra majam manasorasena Romanchakam pasrutarunga bhajo Pande guru sri charanaravindam Sri Vigrahara Nityanana Shringara Tanman Diramarjinado Yuktasya bhaktam shani yunjatopi Vande guru sri charanaravindam Chaturbidha Sri Bhagavat Prasada Svadhana Triptan Hari Bhakta Sangan Kridvaiva Triptim Bhajata Sadaiva Vande Guru Sri Sri Charanaravindam Sri Radhika Madhava Yorapara Madhurya Lila Gunarupa Nam Nam. Pratikshanasvad Danalolupasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Sridhai Yayali Bir Yukti Rapek Shaniya Tat Tat Tri Dakshat Tati Vala Vasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Sakshadhari tena samasta shastre ruktasta tava yata eva sarbi. Kintu prabodhya priya eva tasya vande guru sri charanaravindam. Yasya prasadat Bhagavat Prasado Yasa Prasaran Nagatir Gutoki Dayam Stuvam Stasya Yasastri Sanjam Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Pariva Jakacharya Astotra Satyasri Srimad His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Charam Vishnupad Paramhamsa Paribhajakacharya Astodra Satyasri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Gauri Vaishnavinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Sagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vindra Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Jagannath Swami Ki Yamuna Mai Ki Ganga Mai Ki Tosi Devi Ki,
Jai.
Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vindra Ki,
Kau
Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. This is a prayer that was personally written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to his spiritual master, but it is also generic. It's written to all spiritual masters from the viewpoint of the disciple. So, in a sense, there's not a spiritual master without a disciple, and there's not a disciple without a spiritual master. They're together. So it might seem odd that I'm on the occasion of initiating disciples reading praises to the spiritual master. I'll explain that I don't feel I'm an exalted personality on the level as the spiritual master is described here, but it is a generic prayer also, telling the function of all spiritual masters in the parampara and the attitude that all sincere disciples should take toward their spiritual masters. And just the emphasis is appropriate to initiation on the connection between the guru and the spiritual master. It's the initiation is not just a function that you come and do and then go away and the relationship is forgotten. but it's begun and should be maintained in a personal way for the rest of one's life. So here are some of the qualities of the spiritual master and how he works with, gives mercy to a disciple. One, the spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy, just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world by extinguishing the blazing fire of material existence. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master, who is an ocean of auspicious qualities. It's interesting that it begins immediately, the spiritual master is receiving benediction. He doesn't come off as the one who's giving out everything, but he's immediately introduced as one who is receiving blessing from the ocean of mercy. And the ocean of mercy is Krishna. So the spiritual master is therefore a servant of God and has potency because he's humble and receives this as the metaphor is, he's receiving water from the cloud. So the cloud pours water on a forest fire, and that's the way it is put out. Prabhupada would say that and there's a big forest fire like in the West Coast, often in the United States. You can't put it out by bringing fire trucks or even by different modern methods. They have bombs, water bombs and things. They can control it a little bit, but it is uncontrollable. Unless, he says, there's a big flood, like rainstorm, to put it out. So, and that comes from this sky, which comes from the evaporated water of the ocean. So, the guru, he's not an all-powerful being who can put out the forest fire. Forest fire means the world of material desires, where people are running around trying to fulfill sense gratification in legal and illegal means, and forgetting their business of serving God and going back to Godhead. They're burning in the forest fire of material life. So the spiritual master, he can deliver them by putting out that the desire that they have to get women and money and position and all that. These come from desires, but the guru, he puts out that fire. So this is a general description of his function, and for this the disciple is very, very grateful. So you can take it philosophically as the guru towards all disciples, but for yourself, that you're being saved from the world by this downpour of water. Mahaprabhu Kirtananirchi Gita. Vadichamaja Manasora Sena Romanchakam Pasru Tarungabajo Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Going back to that first verse, what is the main way that he pours water and delivers us? In this age, it's to give us the chanting of the holy name. That's Lord Chaitanya's order. That it's such a blazing fire that complicated methods for extricating yourself, they're not going to work because you don't have the spiritual stamina, you're too slow, you're too dumb. Or even if you're a little interested, you'll get cheated by some spiritual master. So the mercy is coming down in the bona fide delivering of the Hare Krishna mantra. This very simple process. And the bona fide guru is doing it in disciplic succession. We shouldn't overlook it because of its simplicity and not realize what a wonderful thing it is. Now here are more things that the guru does with his disciples. Chanting the holy name, dancing in ecstasy, singing and playing musical instruments, the spiritual master is always gladdened by the sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is relishing the mellows of pure devotion within his mind. Sometimes his hairs stand on end, he feels quivering in his body, and tears flow from his eyes like waves. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So the spiritual master is not dry. He is in contact with the spiritual energy, and he manifests spiritual symptoms at times. Prabhupada did manifest these symptoms at times, but not very much, and not to show off that one is an advanced devotee and can make his hair stand on end. But he does feel these things by chanting and dancing and taking part in kirtan. He likes the sankirtan movement, and so he's an example, and it's not a show, but to put on for the disciple. But we're human beings, and we do become moved when we see our spiritual master is very moved. there's the second mantra in the Gayatri mantras. Are usually not supposed to be told until you get second initiation, but it says just roughly that I worship my spiritual master. He was always enthusiastic in spreading Krishna consciousness, and he makes me enthusiastic by his enthusiasm, and he's very special. So when you see the spiritual master as not an ordinary man, and you see him manifesting, it doesn't have to be in tears, it can be just in his enthusiasm to teach, his fully engaging himself in Krishna consciousness, his care for his disciples, and his serious absorption in the scriptures, and this attracts the disciple to understand that the spiritual master is not a part-time guru or anything phony, but he himself is very much moved by participating in Sankirtan. The spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. This is a very specific thing which we do in our Sampradaya, and Prabhupada did deity worship. Sometimes it's said that all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna and there's no need to do anything else, including getting initiated or worshipping a deity. But is a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Jiva Goswami is quoted as saying that strictly speaking, this is true for an advanced devotee, but the material world is so contaminating that we need to be cleaned by worshipping the deity and the temple worship. And so it becomes actually a necessity. It's not take it or leave it. So therefore the guru, he personally sees that his disciples do this. And in the beginning, Prabhupada didn't do it because we weren't fit at all. But gradually, he introduced deities on altars. He made Brahmins. And just toward the end, he introduced, here's the Govardhan Shila. He's got a purport. He says, we do not have Shila in our temple as yet, but soon we will, when the disciples are cleaned enough. And a devotee wrote to Prabhupada, how do you qualify to worship the deity? He said, you should be very clean, trim your nails, be punctual. Very practical things like that, he said. Everything in order so that the deity is worshipped. Of course, the main element is love and devotion, but we manifest our love and devotion not by just jumping up and down, but by taking care of the deity. A few days ago, we were talking about cats being used in temples to protect the deities from rodents. So this kind of care in all ways, bathing, dressing, of the deity is part of your purification, and the deity can reciprocate with you. Prabhupada says the deity can talk with you, and if you're qualified, he can speak. Yeah, he can speak to you. But even if you're not so qualified, just by regulated service every morning at the same time, you really get attached to the temple deity. I've always found that some devotees will say, "Oh, our deity in our temple is most beautiful." And I go to the temple and I just can't see the beauty of the deity that they're worshipping as much as I can see the beauty of the deity that I'm worshipping. Because as you do it regularly, then you really become intimate for the care of your deity, and you see the beauty of your deity. So I'm saying that's like a symptom that, not that the deity talks to you, but as you have your own deity either in the temple, Gaurini Thai in your temple, or Radhakrishna in your temple, or in your home, you have your home deity. That's an indication that he's manifesting himself personally to you as you're caring for him. So deity worship should not be neglected. Sometimes in India, you see deities are very dirty, and they're not taken care of, and no regulation. And that's more like idol worship. This is very interesting that the guru personally teaches the disciples that we're gonna worship the deity in the temple, and this is how we do it. He did a lot of that starting in Los Angeles. There was an older lady, Shilavati, and he taught her a lot, and other ladies, and just how to do everything, how to open the curtain and ring the bell and offer the prasadam and the incense. And gradually this was passed around to all the other temples so that they knew how to worship deities. And now all over the world, ISKCON deities are worshipped at a very high standard, and it's usually commented on by others that, oh, in the ISKCON temples, the deities are worshipped so beautifully. So that was Prabhupada's influence. It indicates also that Prabhupada didn't teach only very basic, simple things, but he taught very, very advanced worship of Radha and Krishna. Whenever a temple had enough Brahmins, he introduced Radha and Krishna. So he was aware of the topmost goal of Krishna consciousness, introduced it, put it in the hands of the muchas, that he says. He said when he left that temple in Australia, that Prabhupada moved fast. As I said the other day, he didn't have much time. And the deities and the deity worshippers, in so many ways, they didn't seem ready. And he told later that he made a prayer to the Radha Krishna deities. He says, I am leaving you in the hands of the mlechas. Please forgive me and take care of yourself. So, and then later he came back and saw that the so-called mlechas were really Brahmins now and were taking care of the deities very nicely. He made a prayer like that too when he left Los Angeles. And started traveling east. He had personal relationships with the deities in his ISKCON temples. The spiritual master is always engaged in the temple worship of Sri Radha and Krishna. He also engages his disciples in such worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments, clean their temple, and perform other similar worship of the Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. I'm sorry, I read that already. Next. The spiritual master is always offering four kinds of delicious food, analyzed as that which is licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. When the spiritual master sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating Bhagavad Prasad, he is satisfied. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. So some other sampradayas, like the, I think it was the Ramakrishna Mission, they mock Hare Krishna movement and say it's a kitchen religion, because we pay so much attention to cooking. But the kitchen religion is a very personal way to take care of God, who is a person and who comes to the temple to be dressed and bathed and fed. Putram pushpam palam toyam. If he's worshipped with devotion, he'll accept not any kind of food, but not meat or something, but he'll accept special food if it's offered with devotion. So this is an easy way to develop exchange with God, love with God. He's a deity. He comes in a deity form. You feed him food. He accepts the food. He leaves the food for you to eat. And this is a guru's duty, to teach the disciples how to offer food. And in the beginning, they may be so ignorant of how to do it. I remember we were cooking for a Sunday feast, and I was in the room making puris and from the dough. And he looked at the puri. He said, that is not very perfect. And that is perfectly round. So I looked at him, and he said, well, it will have to do. So he just accepted it the way it was. But then we learned to make them better. But he just came right there and saw, how are you making this food? I want to see that it's nicely done. And why? Not because he's going to eat it. He wants to see that the devotees eat the Bhagavad Prasad. So it's not just Krishna who eats, but all the devotees eat. So if you're a cook, you should remember that you're cooking for Radha Krishna, but you're cooking in quantities for all the devotees. And when he sees that the devotees are eating food that's been offered to Krishna, he's very satisfied. I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master for giving me such a connection. Just see these practical and simple ways that the Guru Maharaj is teaching bhakti yoga to the disciples. It's not very hard, is it, any of this? 5. The spiritual master is always eager to hear and chant about the unlimited conjugal pastimes of Radhika and Madhava and their qualities, names, and forms. The spiritual master aspires to relish these at every moment. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Now this is a more elevated teaching. Although all of them, feeding food to Radha and Krishna is certainly very elevated. But this one is that he wants the disciples and himself to hear about Radha and Krishna and their conjugal pastimes as the lover and the beloved in Vrindavan, how they're playing together, loving together. This is his particular relish. A devotee, I think it was Jayadwaita Maharaj, asked Prabhupada, does this apply to all devotees? And he said, if they're in this line, so there are some lines or some pradayas that aren't so eager to hear and chant about the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but our line is. We're not as interested in Lakshmi Narayan or Rama, Sita Ram, but in Radha and Krishna. So it's not just, oh, this is a very elevated verse. Are you claiming that your spiritual master is feeling these things? he's at least aspiring to. He's studying these books on that cover these pastimes more than he is studying the Mahabharata, and he's trying to understand Radha and Krishna as taught in Srimad Bhagavatam and in the songs of the Acharyas. The spiritual master is very dear because he is expert in assisting the gopis who at different times make different tasteful arrangements for the perfection of Radha and Krishna's conjugal loving affairs within the groves of Vrindavan. I offer my most humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. That's very similar to the previous verse. The conjugal pastimes, conjugal means lovers. You know the different rasas. There's master and servant. There's friends, equal friends, like boyfriends. Then there's Mother Yasoda and Krishna. And then there are the girlfriends of Krishna, topmost Radharani. So the spiritual master, he's involved in personally relishing these pastimes, and he does so by making arrangements. Like he'll make a kunj, a cottage, for Radha and Krishna to meet, or decorate it with flowers, and bring prasadam there, and make all arrangements so that Radha and Krishna can have their pastimes, and therefore he's an assistant. Again, we say, well, are you claiming your spiritual master is doing this? He's aspiring to do this. And, well, in the temple worship, we do it. And he's very humble, and so doesn't claim that he is doing these things. Srila Prabhupada was very humble and very strict also in teaching us not to jump over what the guru is teaching. He would teach us that you follow your spiritual master's instructions and gradually things will be revealed to you. Don't jump over his teachings. If he's teaching Bhagavad Gita that we're not this body, and the goal of life is to go back to Godhead, you just do what he teaches and chant Hare Krishna, and don't think that you're more advanced than he is. So the spiritual master follows his spiritual master, and that's the way. You can't reach Radha and Krishna directly. You have to reach them through the guru. And the guru teaches you to first worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, the Panchatattva. So gradually this approaching of Radha and Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan takes place. It doesn't take place by jumping over what the spiritual master is teaching. So those are two verses. You could sort of analyze them into categories. There's like two of them on temple worship, or three if we include the offering of food. Those are all 2, 3, and 4 are all about deity worship in the temple. And 1 and 2 are more general. 5 and 6 are about the this very confidential subject matter of assisting Radha and Krishna. Then it switches into 7 to focus on the spiritual master himself. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Sri Hari Krishna. So this is very clear, but it can be misunderstood. We see in the early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada said, the spiritual master is as good as God. And some of the devotees, they got confused and became doubtful. They said, Prabhupada is teaching that he's God. And so they went to him privately and said, Prabhupada, are you saying that spiritual master is as good as God? And he said, I said that he is to be treated as good as God because he's the servant of God. And the servant of God should be treated with all honor. When he arrived in the airport in Australia, the wise guy reporter said to Prabhupada, you're supposed to be very renounced, a humble guru. I see the devotees have picked you up in a Rolls Royce. So why, if you're so humble, why are you allowing them to do this? He said, of course it is kind of embarrassing to, for the devotees in their enthusiasm, they do things like that. And Prabhupada, he took it very coolly, and because he didn't think it was for him, he says, it says in the scripture that the spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he's his servant. He said, so actually, God, he rides in a golden chariot. He said, you have given me this tin car. He said, that's not good enough. He said, so you haven't worshipped sufficiently. That's not for me, but that's how the servant of God should be treated. So that, but this is a very revealing verse that the servant of God is a very, to be honored as God, which means obeyed, offered prayers, and although he should be humble, he's offered facilities for his service because and only because he's the servant of the greatest, not because he's great. So because of his intimate connection with Krishna, he's treated that way. That's an important verse to understand rightly and not to misunderstand. By the mercy of the spiritual master, this is the last one, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember and praise the spiritual master. At least three times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. So it's kind of a strict and both joyful and yet warning statement here that the spiritual master can give you all benediction of Krishna if you get his mercy. But if you don't get it, then you can't make any advancement. So it's like you better, if you accept the spiritual master, you better stay in his good graces. And if you don't, then you can't make any advancement. You can't make advancement without him. Say, well, my guru I don't have a good connection with my guru. I was initiated. But I think I'm getting the mercy of Krishna without the mercy of the guru. No, you can't do that. But with the mercy of the guru, then don't worry, then you're well situated. So that's the prayer, 8 verses. So now we're going to bathe Prabhupada. You can watch, and then I'll give out the spiritual names and beads. You know what I think has slipped away, Baladev? That CD, Dushtamana.
I'll look for it.
Yeah, or you could, that's my favorite, but you could find some other CD. Of course, they're all nice, but I play that one every morning. The deity worship, I'm just completely attached, runs through my blood. Let me see what else you got. Well, this is nice. 66 prayers, Prabhupada. Yeah, so these are good. Prabhupada singing prayers in 66 and then singing what we just sang, Guru Vastakam. All right.
They're done in different parts of the world now, in Italy, in California, many places, India. But these are my favorite, Prema Lochan. They were the first ones. And they've got nice little 12-inch ones too. Oh, this is 12-inch. Isn't it? But they have the little ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever size it is, if you're lucky enough to develop attachment to Prabhupada Murti, you're fortunate. And just like this altar, you don't have to do a elaborate worship of every picture and every object, but just have them there, and some of them should be regularly worshipped. I know some devotees, they worship their Prabhupada Murti once a week, change his clothes and bathe him. I've been trying to do it daily because he did it daily, but my health doesn't allow me to do it anymore, and I long for the day when I can do it again. You know, Prabhupada, if you don't know his daily habits, he would go to sleep in his clothes. And he would wake up in the morning, clothes would be wrinkled, but he would wear them. He would wash his face in the bathroom, not take a bath. Then he would go out and walk, morning walk, give a class. It was like a kind of a very individualistic habits. Then he would take his breakfast, and then at lunchtime, and partly he did this because of his health. He had a heart condition. Doctor told him not to take cold baths. Doctor told him to take walks, which he did. So then, if you see pictures of them, you may notice that his clothes are kind of wrinkled in morning lectures and walks. So then when he took his noon bath, he would take off his clothes and put on a gumsha, and his servant would then start to massage Prabhupada, and at the same time Prabhupada's meal would be cooked. Sruti Kirti was a miracle man. He used to do both at the same time with Prabhupada's three-tier cooker. He would he would be cooking for Prabhupada while massaging Prabhupada. Mostly there would be a lady. When I was Prabhupada's servant, it was a very nice lady, Palika. And that was in Hari's story also. There was, you know, some lady or someone would cook the meal for Prabhupada while he's getting the massage. That's really good. He did them both. So the massage would go on for about 40 minutes. And that it started at about 11 o'clock. So I knew that that was Prabhupada's routine, and so I would show up at 11 o'clock in my gumsha, and but he, independent as he was, might be talking to some guests, and I couldn't say to him, alright Prabhupada, it's time for your massage. I tried that a few times, and if he wasn't ready, he'd say, no, I'm talking to these guests. So then I would just sit there patiently waiting, because according to it was his plan that everything should run on schedule. He should get his massage, that should be over by about 11:45. Then he should take his bath, and then by the time his bath would be finished, his lunch was ready. He would come out, put on his nice new clothes, put on tilak, and take his lunch. So if all this was delayed, it was like a delay in his schedule. But what could you do if he said, no, I'm talking to my guests? So I would sit there impatiently and wish these people would go. Sometimes it would be a lawyer or somebody, and you had to wait. But then finally Prabhupada, he would dismiss them, and then the servant would be alone with Prabhupada and massage him. So he taught me massage him. He would start facing him and make these little pinching movements at the top of his head. It was a nice way to was the way he wanted it. Not long caresses or heavy massages, but little pinching movements. And then how long would this go on? It was a subtle thing. You couldn't just quit. But he would go like that, give a signal that, all right, my head is finished, now I'd move on to the next part. And sometimes it would be longer than another time. Occasionally, I could talk with him and ask him some question, or somebody would come and talk, but it was mostly private, and he was quiet. So after doing the head, then I would go around to the back. But for this deity worship, I actually turned the murti around and then do the back. And Prabhupada was a small man. He was about 5'4". And yet, he seemed to have a very big back. And you'd massage his back, and it seems like you had so much territory to cover, and you would be sweating and trying to give him a good massage. That would be healthy for him. Once towards the end of his, he said the doctor, no, he himself said, I am being kept alive by these massages and by my walks. So one time toward the end of his life, when he was getting weaker, he asked Tamal Krishnaraj to massage him, and he was doing it very softly. And Bhavananda was there, and Prabhupada said, this is not a massage. He said, this is a caress. He said, Bhavananda, you give him a massage. And he gave him a more vigorous one, which he wanted. Then toward the end of his life, he wanted, when he was really ill, he wanted to be scratched very hard, harder, he would say. And I got to do that sometimes. And he would keep asking for it to be done harder. I do this in a condensed way. You might spend 40 minutes just on the back if you didn't indicate that you should change. But I shorten everything. And you would do the chest.
Guru Maharaj, did he use any oils?
Yes, sandalwood oil I would use. Sometimes he would use different oils. What does Shruti Kirti say he did? In the winter?
In winter was mustard.
Mustard.
And in the summer would be sandalwood.
Sandalwood. Yeah, I seem to remember mustard more. Hari Sori has written us books by his service to Prabhupada. And he was a good Masuri, such a strong man, bodily. And there was a lot of incidents. He was telling women, Prabhupada would sit on a straw mat and he had the mustard oil and he put it down and it tipped over just a little, and a little mustard oil fell. And Prabhupada said, "You rascal." Then down to the lotus feet. That was always a thrill. And Prabhupada liked both his fingers and his lotus feet to be popped. You know, when you crack your knuckles, can't do any of them. But some people do that. Mm-hmm. 0 out of 10. But if you did 0 out of 10, he didn't like that. He wanted to get at least 5 out of 10. No, you cannot do it, he would say. And then in his feet too, I know some medical care people say it's not good for you to crack your knuckles or to crack your. But he had a theory that it was good to pass the air through them or something. So if you wanted to be his masseur, you had a pop them. And I would be happy when I could get 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's pretty good. Never got 5 out of 5. He would approve it when you got a few of them at least. And then you would finish. And he would take the mustard oil then himself, and he'd take some and he'd put very aristocratic movement. Mm-hmm. Put one and drop in his nose, and he'd put one in his navel, and he'd put one in each ear, and then he would get up and just walk away and go to his private bath. And then we would run off to make sure that the clean clothes were waiting and laid out for him, and how was the cooking coming out, was everything getting ready, and just hoping nothing would go wrong. We have rose water here and Radha Kund. Careful, I don't. You got a lot of water here, then. Careful, I don't overflow it. a nice practice. Feel close to him. After not doing it, I think, why don't I do this more often? Just like so many spiritual practices, you neglect them, and you do them more, and you do them again. You say, why have I neglected this? Himself so available, as he says, of the deity in general. Krishna makes himself small and available. This is a very nice setup that Baladev conceived and a local carpenter made. And we bathe Radha and Govinda every morning in the same way. A beautiful thing to see. If I think, is that on the film?
Yeah.
See how beautiful golden each of them are. Hari Sari, his first book, he tells how things just began in India because of Prabhupada's heart condition. He didn't take a cold when he was a young man. He used to surprise the hotel managers that he would take a cold bath in the winter. But after his heart attacks, he had to take warm baths. So in the West, that was easy enough to do. But in India, they did it by putting this electrical iron rod into the water, and after a while it would warm up, and the water would be warm. So the first time, we had to do a lot of things at once. We had to do that, then you had to turn to the getting his clothes ready, and then go and do the massage. When the massage is done, then you go and you get the water and give Prabhupada the water, so he can bathe himself. Prabhupada bathed himself. He didn't have someone bathe him. So Hari Sari started off, put the iron rod, a warmer, in the water. Forgot to put it in the electric plug. Went on to the next step, the next step, the next step, and came back and gave Prabhupada the cold water. So, what is this, you rascal? Can I take a bath with cold water? So he sent him back to do it over again. And Hari Sari felt terrible. And then the next day he did the same exact thing. And he said, oh, I'm surely going to be fired now. Well, Prabhupada's going to kick me out. But he didn't. He learned it. And Hari Sari learned to do it. But you could catch a lot of sarcasm, Prabhupada, if you did something wrong. Sarcastic words. I did a lot of things at once. I was a cook and Dr. Godhead editor and GBC man and servant and everything. When I started, I just too many things and my head was spinning. So we were in Hawaii and I was cooking cucumbers, some kind of cucumbers, whatever like that. And we were sitting together, so I started cutting them, and I forget which way he wanted them, whether he wanted them cut this way or long way, but I cut them the way he didn't want. I cut them lengthways. And he said, what are you doing? He said, that is not right. He said, you cut it the other way. And I had my false ego kind of got aroused, and I said, maybe with a little touch of my own sarcasm, I said, well, I'll learn to do it. I will learn to do it right. He said, you will not learn in 300 years. And then I saw, we had better just be quiet. With breakfast, he always wanted little pieces of fresh ginger cut up. So I routinely did it. But one day I forgot to do it. And he said, where's the ginger? I said, oh, I forgot. And he was real sarcastic. He half imitated my voice, but with real sarcasm, he said, oh, I forgot. I was just mortified. Partly because he was mocking me, and partly because I was so stupid to do it wrong. So I ran out and got the ginger. Need to put? Yeah.
Prabhupada used to sometimes give out beads, especially like when he was in a hurry to leave from one country or another city to another, and it was decided that somebody should get an ishid, so they would come into his room and he would just chant on their beads and give them their beads and tell them their name, and that was it. They were ishid, and there was no follow up on it. Then of course initiation by mail took place, including second initiation, with hearing the mantra. And in the mail mints, you know, some temple authority would write in and say, Bhakti Jyo is qualified for initiation. Prabhupada would say, I'm pleased to accept Bhakti Jyo and Bhakti Mary initiation. His spiritual name is Janardhan, which means, and some other name, Sanskrit name. So a lot of devotees, hundreds of devotees, were initiated that way. Then devotees have been initiated by mail and told that they had to complete the initiation by sitting in on a fire sacrifice. And I've done that routinely. So we're not having a fire sacrifice here. And so if you like, when an ISKCON guru is giving us a initiation in your area, you can just ask him that I received initiation, but I didn't, without a fire sacrifice. Can I sit in on this fire sacrifice? And they sit. They're always welcome to do that. They always do that. So, you may wish to do that. But I consider you, it's like a formality. And what's happening now, you're receiving the beads and your spiritual name and the lecture that we held. This is a complete initiation. And just like to personally ask you, this is the last initiation I'm going to do, to please take it very seriously, and personally too, to keep up a personal relationship with me, and because I've initiated hundreds of devotees and other gurus have too, who just after a while they don't keep touch. And we shouldn't do that. We should keep close touch, even though in my case I won't be traveling much. And I've made that clear to you all, that being initiated by me meant that you would be initiated by a person who wouldn't be often coming to your part of the world. And if you needed that, then you should be initiated by someone who could give you that. I hope, and I think you've all heard that from me, and that I felt, however, there was a lot of personal relationship available by reading my books, which are very personal, and hearing my tape. But the main thing, Prabhupada met his spiritual master about a dozen times. They said, "What should I do?" And he said, "You should preach in the West." And that was enough for him. He says, "I felt he was always with me." So it's the quality of the disciple too. And together, they can make all success. You don't have to go to another guru or another investigating another sampradaya or something, but just stick with Prabhupada as your grand guru and me as serving you to connect you to Prabhupada, and then you get connected to Krishna. There's nothing lacking. And of course, associate with all the devotees in ISKCON. Okay? Chant it on your beads, and I'll give you personal cards because I have the diacritics on it, so you'll know exactly how to pronounce it. Let's see if there's any particular order I should give them out. We have elders here by age and elders by years of being a devotee. Guess it all doesn't matter so much. But Steve, how long have you been practicing Krishna consciousness?
Almost 15 years.
Thank you, I'll go first. Here are your bees. And always chant 16 rounds every day. And what are the four rules?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling.
Right. Now your spiritual name is Shachi Sutta. Right. That's Lord Chaitanya, who is the son of Mother Shachi. Do you have any, is there any Shachi Sutis in the New York area? Good. I got in all this trouble over Akinchana Krishna. Yeah. It was really overdone. They were best friends and then they wouldn't become friends. They weren't even friends anymore with each other because they got the same name. But now they're happy. Nitai Gauranga, I gave him his name. Well, H.I. Gates is, by seniority, he's a retired professor of architecture?
Sculpture.
Teaching sculpture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the devotee next door, the architect. Teaching sculpture, it's much more appealing to me. And so, yeah, he's recently retired. That's a wonderful career to be teaching in the university to students of sculpture. And now He's committed in his retired age, with all encouragement from his wife and his, well, I won't say son-in-law, but his young friend, Haridas. We're also happy that you become a devotee. So it's real nice. I learned today that you're not addressed by this full formal name, H.I. Gates, just H.I., which is a real nice nickname. I kind of hate to let it go, but I have to give you a spiritual name. So your spiritual name is Hemagora. Hemagora means Lord Chaitanya, who is beautifully golden. Maybe you can make some sculpture of Lord Chaitanya somewhere. So what are the four rules?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling.
Right. Another day, 16 rounds on the bees. Right. So, from Italy, Vishakha Devi Dasi is here. She'll receive her second initiation. I'll do that. I'll have to do that right after this ceremony, huh? There are two. There's Shamasundar and Vishakha. So I'll meet them both together. And you have the sheets?
Yeah, next door.
Yeah, you can get them.
Sheets and the thread.
And I give a Brahmin thread. To Shamasundar. So, but Vishakha's husband is Marco. They both come from Italy, and earlier I made many happy visits to Italy, and hope to be able to go there again. Beautiful country and beautiful. So Marco and I are just developing our relationship, and I knew you were starting a candy business, or a bakery business, a pastry business, but Govinda, but it seems to have folded up, right? And so you're going into business and married life, and I gave a lecture here a couple of weeks ago, maybe you can get a hold of it, about how the householder who lives outside with the man working is in no way inferior to the temple devotee. And in fact, they're now the core of ISKCON is the householder devotee. Who worships on his own and preaches Krishna consciousness by meeting people at work and mixing with people socially, and it's kind of a new phase in Krishna consciousness, but in no way should they be looked down upon as inferior to temple devotees. And the temple leaders, especially like the sannyasis and high authorities, they owe to the householders to set an example of being actually leaders and not corrupt leaders, so that there can be trust again in the movement. So you have an important preaching role just in living as husband and wife and raising children, and that in keeping your principles. And so I wish to regularly hear from you how you're developing in that way, from you and Vishakha. Okay, about the marker, what are the four rules? Right. And every day you chant 16 rounds. And your spiritual name is Manohara Krishna, who is so beautiful he steals everyone's minds. So we can go by the etiquette of ladies first, or elderly gentlemen first. Save the best for last. There's a lot of etiquette, but I'll call on Gurdeep to come.
Maharaji, you have to do it in half a round. You can complete my...
Right.
Do it later.
I could do it later, but Gurdeep is very anxious. He's wondering, well, he says he'll do it later, but when will it happen? So everyone can chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. All right, Golanga. Lord Chaitanya, who has golden limbs. Here's your card. So you can remember the accent is on Golanga.
Thank you.
Avishini. What are the four rules?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no human form of life, and no intoxication.
Right. No gambling in the human form of life? You can gamble when you go to Krishna Loka. Play with the boys. And every day chant 16 rounds, even though you're very busy. And your spiritual name is Abhiramani, which is a name of Radha, who gives essential pleasure to Krishna. So you'll have to watch the diacritics. Abhiramani. Thank you.